Let's make it entertaining.
Your mic is on.
I know. You guys ready to get started? Yes? We apologize about the delay. Unfortunately, the earlier keynote went a little long, so this session is starting at 12 o'clock. It'll go into 1 o'clock. Then you guys could have lunch, and supposedly, I haven't heard officially, but supposedly, the schedule for the sessions moving forward for the rest of the day will not be moving, but that could change at any time. My name is Dave Robinson. I'm a program manager on the Bing Information Platform and Experiences team.
My name is Altaf, and I'm a program manager on the same team, counterpart with Dave.
And so what, if you guys all saw the announcements yesterday in the keynote when Gurdeep was talking about the Bing platform, we've announced that a lot of the great first-party experiences that you're seeing inside of all the different Microsoft applications, we're enabling that as a third-party developer platform. So what we're going to be doing in this session is we're going to take you through the Bing platform, we'll show you the actual keynote application, and what we'll do is we'll deconstruct it piece by piece and show you right within Visual Studio how easy it is to add these different experiences to your applications as well. We'll then also look at the Bing Dev Center really quickly just so you can get familiar with how to get access to these things, look at the blogs, look at the, you know, all the different stuff that MSDN has to offer. And then finally, we'll have a Q&A session, and we have some subject matter experts from the different teams in Bing here, and hopefully they'll be able to answer any questions you guys might have. You guys excited? You guys awake? Yes? So who's using Bing, any Bing controls or APIs in their applications today? Just a few. Who's excited about everything that we just announced? Everybody's excited. Great. Perfect. Okay, so one of the things, everybody thinks about Bing as just being a search destination. You go to Bing, you type in your search, you get back rich visuals and great results. But Bing is much, much more than just a search engine. Everything that we do at Microsoft, in our roots, we're always a platform company. So as we're building out this great search experience for you on Bing, we've actually been building this rich platform. A lot of people don't realize that when you think about Bing, there's a lot of experiences that we power that we don't typically get credit for. If you think about the rich media search experiences available on the Xbox today, we did that. If you think about all the social interaction and all the different text-to-speech and voice recognition on the phone, we've done that as well. And so what we've been doing is we've been building this rich platform that's aware of the world's knowledge and all the things that the web has to offer. We've been building this platform, and now we're taking these different controls and different services, and we're enabling them for you guys to use inside your applications. Everything from finding out things that are relevant to other things, using the world's knowledge, and creating, you know, what we call NUIs, or natural user interfaces, where your application can start to use things like voice and sound and vision in order to make your applications pop a little bit more in the marketplace. Because at the end of the day, we write applications so we can make money. And when you are able to use the Bing platform to truly differentiate your applications, that's when your application's going to go ahead and stand out. So to start, why don't we go ahead and take a look at the application that we showed inside the keynote, and just walk you through just a little bit of it, and then you'll be ready to jump into Visual Studio and show us how to create all this fun stuff?
Absolutely.
Okay, perfect. So let's start with the phone. So if you watched the demo, the whole thing started off with people having a conversation around the office, and the coworker was mentioning to the other coworker, "Hey, I just got back from vacation, and you know, I had this great idea about, you know, going to Spain." So they use this little road trip application that they have on their phone, and they simply say, "Trip companion, add Spain to my vacation ideas."
Added Spain to your vacation ideas.
So by using the speech recognition on the phone, I was able to go ahead and voice enable my application. So that way when I'm just walking around, I got this idea, you know, I just want to capture it, I can go ahead and just speak right into the phone. Now if we go back over to the Surface and fire up the desktop application, we can see that right there on the left-hand side that Spain has been added as a vacation idea. Now notice that we've just bridged from one device to another device. This is super important as application developers because people are always on the go. They're always picking up, depending on where they are, they're picking up anything from a phone to a tablet to a PC. And it's great for us to be able to continue to move the user context and the user data back and forth depending on what the experience is. So if I go into Road Trip Companion, the first thing I see on the left-hand side is some interesting information about Spain. I could see a 2D map of Spain, and I can also see some recommended destinations. Now, if I go into Valencia, I have some rich artwork that we've gone ahead and included inside the application. But even as pretty as these things are, it doesn't give me, you know, a full view of what exactly is going on in Spain. It doesn't really add to my experience of how I can go ahead and explore this. So if I go ahead and click Explore, we're now launching from this application into the new 3D Maps application that we discussed in the keynote yesterday. And I could very easily and just fluidly just browse around the city, seeing all, you know, this beautiful imagery, and I can zoom in, and it gives me the ability to say, hey, you know what, if I book my hotel right there, what kind of a view would I have? We also have the ability to go ahead and do programmatic fly-through. So if I go on City of Arts and Science, let's just listen to what this might have to say.
This is the City of Arts and Sciences in Valencia. It is one of the largest text-to-speech cultural centers of Europe. You could easily spend more than a day here. You must see the Oceanographic, the Prince Philip Museum, and the Queen Sophia Arts Palace here. There are quite a few good hotels nearby. You can check out the views that you get from them to see if you should believe their marketing.
Ha ha ha. If you guys have heard that once, I've heard it probably about 10,000 times, that little voiceover. So, you know, if it's killing you a little bit, it's killing me 1,000 times more. So with that, you know, I'm able to just have this really, really rich viewing experience here. So now, Altaf, how hard would it be to add these types of things? So we just discussed 2D map control inside the application. Mm-hmm. We looked at the 3D map control, and we also looked at text-to-speech. So how difficult is it to add these things to my app?
It's pretty simple, and let me show you how this could be done in Visual Studio. So I'll start with the Maps 2D control. I'll be adding the Maps 2D control onto the XAML canvas here. This is a blank XAML application. You guys must have already, a lot of you guys must have already used the Maps 2D control. So this is the same 2D control, but there are some new features that I would be highlighting, specifically getting the driving directions. There are two new features that has been added, the driving directions and the geocoding API. And I'm going to demonstrate first the driving directions. And after that, I'm going to demonstrate protocol activation, which is not a new thing, but it was pretty interesting when I've surveyed. A lot of people didn't know about it, that you can do a protocol activation from your app into Bing Maps. So I'll start with the Maps 2D control first. So in this XAML application, I have a pre-created XAML that I've added here. And as you can see, here is the Maps 2D control, which is the usual Maps 2D control. And you would need the credentials for it. So if you go to the Bing Dev Center site, it will point you to the appropriate link to get the keys for yourself. And now I'm going to enable the Get Driving Directions click. Let me add a code snippet. So here, as you can see in the code, I am adding a waypoint collection, and there are two points that I'm adding from Bellevue to Redmond. So I'm going to get driving directions from Bellevue to Redmond, and I'm calling the direction manager async, calculate direction async method here. And at the end, I'm adding the route summary view to my route direction stack panel. So these are the three primary steps that I'm doing right now. Since the calculate direction async is an async method, I need to make this calling function as an async method. And that's about it. So this adds the Maps 2D canvas onto my application. And on click of the Get Directions button, it adds the waypoints from Bellevue to Redmond, and it will calculate the driving directions from Bellevue to Redmond, and will show it into the stack panel summary.
You want to click it again? There we go.
Okay, so there you go. So always get some demo moments right on the right time. So from Bellevue to Redmond and driving directions on the right. So this is one of the net new stuff that we have with the 2D control. So now I'm going to move to protocol activation. So as you can see in this app, we are calling Bing Maps and passing on some parameters to it. In this case, I'm passing on the parameter, the center point. And there are multiple stuff this app is going to do. So first, let me launch the Bing Maps app. So as you can see, you can with Windows 8.1, you can be really creative around how do you want to display in the stacked mode. So that you can leverage much more in Windows 8.1. Let me click on set the center point, and this sets the center point of the map to San Francisco. You can change the zoom level. You can change the style. You can set the bounding box, or you could go for search a location. This is all happening inside Bing Maps app. I'm not doing it programmatically. I'm just using protocol activation from my app and calling Bing Maps app.
So if I have a scenario where I don't want to take this actual control and drop it into my application, I want to use the built-in Windows Map app, this is when I would go ahead and do that?
Yes, absolutely. And this is the Bing Maps app that is available. So there are a bunch of apps available from Bing, and this is one of them. Mm-hmm. So now I'm going to show you the 3D control, and then I'll come on to the TTS part of it.
So now, as a developer, we've been telling developers, you know, use this 2D control, use this specific pattern to go ahead and add this to your application. Is it much different to add the 3D to the app versus the 2D? Like, what's the developer experience like?
So the developer experience from 2D to 3D would be pretty easy. We are developing APIs, keeping in mind the portability from 2D to 3D. As far as the control is concerned, the transition would be seamless. And let me show you some API views here. So on the right-hand side, I have got certain APIs that I'm going to invoke. But there are some important parameters at the top. So when you have been coding with the Maps 2D control, you might have been thinking in terms of latitude, longitude, and zoom. Now with 3D, it doesn't depend on the location where you are. It depends upon the view or the where the camera is from. So that's why the parameters change. So now it's latitude, longitude, altitude, heading, and pitch. So with the 2D view, the heading and pitch is always 0 and minus 90 degrees. So let me just copy the current view to show what it is. So this is the parameter values for the current view. As you can see, the heading is 0 and the pitch is minus 90.
So this is kind of the 3D control in like 2D mode, because I'm imagining that pitch, negative 90, is if I'm like a 90-degree angle straight down onto the Earth. Is that how to think about that?
Yes, absolutely. I think you've got the geometric lessons right for your daughter, I believe.
Yes. Geometry with kids. It's fun.
So I'm going to talk about the SetView API here. There are two variants of the SetView API. One is the async variant, and one is the sync variant. In the sync variant, it doesn't do any animation, but in the async variant, the animations that you saw on Dave's demo were done through the async method. But the animation is pretty smart, so it depends on where the camera is. So if the camera is really way out, it's going to do a zoom out and do a zoom back in. And if it is within a fly-through distance, it will do a fly-through towards that location. And if it is in the vicinity, then it will directly go towards that location. So I'm just going to go back to the City of Arts and Science, or maybe Oceanographic at this point.
This is the City of Arts and Science.
Oh, thank you for stopping that.
So as you can see, this is getting very close towards a bird's eye view. And the typical pitch for a bird's eye view is minus 45. So let's see what pitch this gets towards.
One of the great things about this is you can programmatically control the camera, right? So if you want to have an experience inside your application where you want to highlight specific things about the landscape, you know, you have that complete control.
So I'm going to copy the current view. So as you can see, the pitch is minus 54, which is pretty close to the bird's eye view of minus 45. So that was the set view, and correspondingly we have the get view, and we would also have a get view bound. So it was easier to calculate the view bounds in 2D, but in 3D it's not that trivial. So we have added this API to make your life a little easy. So the get view bounds will get you the appropriate view bounds. And that's about it in terms of the 3D API. So I'm going to move back to my demo Visual Studio machine, and I'm going to show you how we can add TTS. So I have this button that I'm going to add to my XAML, which will invoke the TTS click. So for TTS, there are two flavors. One is you can get text-to-speech using a text input, or you can get text-to-speech using an SSML input. I'm going to start with the text input first.
And what is SSML?
That's the speech synthesis markup language. Mm-hmm. So that's similar to what the HTML is for the web.
Interesting. Okay.
So you can do a lot of cool things with SSML, like you can control the phonics of it, you can do an interpretation of a word, or you can add delays. There are a bunch of variants that you can do. And if you would have already used SSML on Windows Phone 8, this is pretty similar to what we have on Windows 8.1. So this is the text to data. I have a trimmed down version of what Dave just demonstrated, so I don't want to bore you guys with the whole readout, but this is the trimmed down version. And as you can see, this uses the speech synthesizer, and on the speech synthesizer, it is calling the synthesized text to stream async. And again, since this being an async method, I'll have to add async to this method as well. And it uses the usual media element to play the output or the stream of what TTS provides. So let me invoke the TTS demo here.
This is the City of Arts and Sciences, or, as the locals would say, Ciudad de las Artes y las Ciencias. On June 29, 2013, there is a concert in the park.
How was that?
That was awesome. I mean, the TTS was awesome, just the whole City of Arts and Science.
Did you like the voice, though?
The voice was all right. It was a little like, this is the city of, you know, just, can we get something a little bit more sexier?
Okay. Let's try. You know? Let's try. Dave always gives me hard requirements.
I know. That's
so let's try to change the voice here. So here what I'm doing is I'm iterating through all the voices. And I'm selecting ENGB as the voice. That's one of the female voices that we have. And you can even call the voices based on the name. So this is a simple link query for that. And I'm going to set the voice for the first voice that is available.
This is the City of Arts and Sciences, or, as the
royal
locals would say, Ciudad de las Artes y las Ciencias. On 06/29th.
Was that better?
It's a little bit more royal. You know, I like it.
Okay. So let me show you some more variants that you can try. So in this example of the text data, the pronunciations were not authentic. And also, there were no delays. So in the case of maps example that you saw, we wanted to start the voice when it reached a certain level in the camera. And if for that, we had to induce certain delays. So you can add some delays. You can change the pronunciation. So there's a bunch of stuff that you can do with SSML. So I'm going to show you an example of an SSML.
Just by a show of hands, who out here has used SSML before? Or is this something new to everybody? Just a couple? Okay.
So here's what I'm doing. I'm inducing breaks. I'm doing some phoneme to change the pronunciation. And then I'm also doing some say as to interpret the dates. So what do you think, Dave? How many lines of code would I require to call SSML?
5.
Okay. You need to learn some coding, Dave. It's one line.
That's what happens when programmers that can't program become program managers. So.
So here, as you can see, I'm calling the synthesized SSML to stream async. And that does the trick.
This is the City of Arts and Sciences, or, as the locals would say, La Ciudad de las Artes y Ciencias. On 06/29/2013, there is a concert in the park.
Long story short, you get maximum control over the voice output when you're using SSML versus just standard text input.
Absolutely. So here is a quick summary of the Maps2D control. So basically, the same Bing map backdrop and data, you can add your data in. New APIs are the geocoding and routing. Maps2D control is already available with Windows 8, and we would be uploading the Windows 8.1 beta pretty soon to the Bing Dev Center. It works with managed C++ and JavaScript. The Maps 3D control is having lots of high-definition cities, and we are working on adding more and more cities at this point. It has integrated street-side experiences, and as I mentioned, the API is being designed for ease of porting. So the biggest question you would ask is, can I get a hands-on to the Maps 2D, 3D control? So the answer is, it's not available yet. Stay tuned, check out the Bing Dev Center, and we'll let you know. The next is text-to-speech. Basically, it does a readout for text and SSML. And for SSML, you can control the voice, pitch, rate, pronunciation, and the volumes. It supports 15 languages.
That's a lot.
And it is available only on Windows 8.1. So this is part of the SDK that comes with Windows 8.1. So you don't have to do any separate downloads. And it works with managed JavaScript and C++. So Dave, do you have something more to show?
Yeah, I do actually. Can you flip me back for a second? So one of the most powerful things that you guys can think about is the whole thought of, you know, knowing somebody's context, right? I'm standing up here, I know my context is I'm at Build, I'm in San Francisco, I know what my interests are. But imagine being able to take that kind of context and give that type of awareness to your applications. So although I'm just looking at a nice, you know, 3D control here. Inside of our knowledge graph, we know right now what exactly you're looking at. And I could use speech and do something like, who is the architect? Please work. Heard me say, who is the architect? It's now going to understand my context. It knows I was looking at this building in the City of Arts and Science. It was able to pull back that entity, look at what are the properties on the entity, and understand that the architect for this building was Santiago Calatrava. It was then able to look him up inside of our knowledge base and give me back this rich entity information. So via my voice, I was able to really accomplish a lot of things. A lot of things that are very difficult for people to go ahead and be able to understand. You know, understanding a context and having that flow, regardless of if you're on a tablet or a phone or PC, it's a very, very powerful concept. So can you show us how that is to do in code? Is that possible?
Absolutely. So let me quickly demonstrate the two new capabilities that Dave talked about. First was the speech control, which would do speech-to-text recognition. And the second one was the entity API. So I'm going to start with the speech-to-text recognition control. I have already added a XAML voice UI control element onto my design surface. And I have enabled a button. So let me add some code to that button. So here, as you can see, I'm calling the recognize text-to-speech async method, and I'm passing on a dictation as a grammar.
Now, what exactly is a grammar?
So grammar is something which we have two types of grammar out of the box. One is the short message dictation, and another one is web search. It basically lets the engine understand, you know, you would be speaking from one of these set of texts that we have understood.
Okay, so it's like the corpus of words that it understands?
Exactly.
Okay.
So if you have used speech recognition on Windows Phone, we also support custom grammar on Windows Phone. Right now, at this point, we would be just supporting dictation and web search grammar on this particular control. So again, this is an async method, so I'll have to set my method as an async. Please call me. So this was using short message dictation, so I just tried one simple short message, and there you go. There's always a risk of using pre-release bits in demos. So that was the speech recognition control. Now I'm going to show you the Entity API. So before I show you the Entity API, how many of you are familiar with entities that is displayed on Bing.com? There is an entity card that Bing.com displays. Looks like a few of you guys.
Let's show us.
Okay. So here on this page, I've searched Valencia, Spain. And as you can see in the middle, there is an entity card about Valencia that talks that gives you some facts about Valencia, some related information about Valencia. Similar thing is available now on the search arm. So as you can see, search arm is doing a beautiful rendering of this factual information and integrating it with weather and a bunch of other information. So you can do that also in your app using the Entity API. So let me give you a quick demo of that.
One of the things, as I was speaking about how we've been enabling all these first-party experiences inside Microsoft applications, this is a perfect example of how we did all this work in the platform to enable the search charm to be able to search right from within Windows and pull back all this rich entity information. But now that we're going to be making this third-party API available, you could have the same types of experiences inside your applications as well.
So here I'm just invoking the Entity API through my browser, and this is going to return me a JSON blob. Dave, can you understand this?
Of course I can.
Come on, tell me what it is.
It's the City of Arts and Sciences.
Oh, you're pretty smart. Let me see if he's right. So here is a JSON viewer. Okay. And as you can see, it has returned me one entity. So Bing understood exactly what I wanted and returned just the exact entity, which was Valencia. Let's see some facts about Valencia. This is the population, and there would be some related items as well. Bunch of related items. The first one is the City of Arts and Science. So that is the Entity API. So let me quickly summarize the speech recognition control and the Entity API. So the speech recognition control basically converts speech to text. And at this point, we would be releasing for our first release ENUS only. It would work with Manage, JavaScript, and C++. This is not available yet, but it may come around Windows 8.1 GA. The Entity API, as you saw, provided a detailed snapshot about an entity, and it was similar to Bing.com. It's not available yet. Stay tuned to the Bing Dev Center, and we'll let you know when it comes. You have something more to show, Dave?
Okay, let's talk about OCR and Translator. So, you know, as we have applications, you know, we don't always know where our application users are going to reside. You know, we might be traveling abroad. We might be in Spain, and we might be coming across different, you know, artifacts like a menu or something. And we want to be able to, you know, translate these things on the fly. So using the Bing OCR and translator control, we can go ahead and do these things. Can I get switched back over? Do you mind? Oh, I am on. I was looking down now. My apologies. So within the application, I can actually just go ahead and do a scan right here. And if I hold up the brochure I have for this restaurant and click scan. So what it's doing right now is it's going ahead and scanning this picture. And it's going to go ahead and send that up to the OCR service, and it's going to go ahead and identify and optically character recognize all the different words in this. This is great, but I think the magic comes when I go ahead and click translate. And so what it'll do is it'll go word by word and translate it from Spanish into English. Now, this is using a control, but I can also do this programmatically as well. So how is this, once again, is this something difficult to add to my app?
Not at all. So translator works in two modes. One is in a binding mode where you don't have to write a single line of code. But you can also, through the control, you can call the translator API in an async mode and do translation on the fly. And translator is pretty intelligent. It would understand the source language without you specifying it.
Mm-hmm. You want to show some code?
Absolutely. So first I'll show you a binding way of doing translation. So here is a quick snapshot. I'm not writing a single line of code here, as you can see in my XAML. There's no code here. And if you see my XAML, I'm doing some quick binding. I'm binding the text to translate or translated text and the error code back to some text box. So I'm going to set as the language 2 as Spanish, and we'll say welcome to build 2013.
Oh.
Anyone recognizes this? I don't do Spanish.
Let's try Hindi.
Okay, let me try Hindi then. Okay. Build 2013 mein aapka swagat hai. If you understand Hindi, that's
is he lying? Is that right? Yes. That's okay. Gotta keep them honest. You want to do German?
Oh.
Come on, we got a customer request.
Okay, I'll do German. Hey, Alex, what's the German code? G-E? D-E.
See? It's real. It's not fake. What kind of session do you think this is? Please. Damn.
Okay, so I'm going to show the OCR control now first, just a plain vanilla version of OCR control, and then we will do a mess up of OCR translator and TTS on top of it. So I'm going to drag OCR control to my design surface. Even before that, for OCR and the translator control, you need to download the V6 extension from the Bing Dev Center, and you can check that out into the extension manager. So that's the OCR control, and the next one is the translator control I've already added to my project. And I've already referred them into the references. So let me just drag and drop the OCR control onto my design surface. And there are a few parameters that the OCR control would require. One is the client ID and the secret. Both OCR control and the translator uses the subscription that is available on Azure Data Market. So translator uses the translator API that is already out, but for OCR we have added one more subscription that you would have to subscribe. The first 5,000 transactions for OCR is free per month. So I have already pre-baked the client ID and secret for the OCR control. And now I'm going to add some event handlers. So here I'm going to add the loaded event handler to start the OCR control or to start the camera in the preview mode. And then I need the completed method to get control of what returns. And finally the failed. So here is where I can handle the error cases. If OCR or whatever fails. So let me quickly invoke the OCR control and start it into the preview mode. It being an async method, the usual drill, and that's about it. Let's see what output it returns. It was easier for Dave with a forward-facing camera. I don't have that luxury. So OCR did the detection, and now the results are popped in terms of lines. There were 12 lines detected. Each line would have set of words, and each word would have a text associated with it, and a box which identifies where the text was detected. Let's try to make this a little more fancy, what Dave showed in his demo.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, I'll make this as an async method because I'm starting the control in the end, and I'm going to copy some XAML to make it a little fancier.
This is going to look good. There's a lot of XAML there. Look at that.
So here, as you can see, I've added the OCR control, and then I have added an image on which I'm going to overlay some response from the OCR control using the completed event. So let me go back to the code. And as you can see in the code, I'm iterating through each lines and each word, and I'm trying to overlay each word based on the boxes parameter that was given to me from OCR so that I can identify the text correctly. And that's about it. There you go. So that overlaid the text that was identified, but I don't, it doesn't make sense to me. So I can add translation on top of it. So this is in Spanish. Let's use the translator control.
One of the great things, I don't know if you guys are noticing this, but it is not very bright up here. And that image was pretty damn dark, and it was still able to recognize all those words, you know, in a foreign language. Yeah, exactly, exactly. So, you know, If you're worrying about, you know, if I'm going to add this to my application, I have to have perfect lighting, perfect things. No, you don't. It's that good.
Okay. So now I'm going to add translation on top of the word. So the words was on this word.value. And then I'm going to call the translator API from the translator controls. So that's my translator control. And I'm going to call the translator API and the translator async method. As you can see, the first parameter is an empty string, which asks the translator to do an auto detection. And the destination or the two languages is EN. And let me change this text to the translated text. And that's about it. This should convert the OCR from Spanish to English. Isn't that cool?
That is pretty cool, right?
So now the question is, can we use TTS on top of this?
Wow.
So cool. I've already created a simple string that does a concatenation of all the words that have identified on or that has been scanned. And at the end, I'm going to call TTS to do a readout of those words. So same speech synthesizer. But instead of SSML, I'm just using text to stream. So this time for a change, you won't get to hear, this is a city of Valencia.
Oh, thank God.
Home in Monday earns. Ed and reservation phone, asterisk escos with S.
So that was a quick example of integration between OCR, translator, and TTS. Let's go through a quick summary of all the OCR and the translator control. So the OCR control recognizes text and numbers. It provides coordinates around each words. It supports 8 languages. It is available as a beta right now. You can download it from the Bing Dev Center. And it will work with both Windows 8 and Windows 8.1. It is supported with only managed and C++ at this point.
But we still have the OCR. We still have the API, though, available, correct? The OCR?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect.
And for the translator, basically, it is built upon on top of the translator API that you guys must have already been familiar with. It's been out there for quite a while. But this makes life easy to add the translation capability into your app with a minimal amount of code or zero code, literally. So that's the ease of access that we provide. It supports auto detection of source languages, and it is available in 42 languages. Like OCR, it works with both Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, but it supports more than OCR. So it supports managed, JavaScript, and C++. Also, Irina is telling me that it also supports the Star Trek language as well.
Oh, yes, that's right. Sorry about that. It does, actually. You don't remember when Star Trek came out, all the press around the Bing homepage in Star Trek? Check it out. It's pretty cool stuff. Let's keep going.
So the next one is a quick summary of what Dave did on the phone. So that's the Windows Phone 8 voice summary. I'm not going to do any demo because we are out of time pretty much. We want to keep enough time for a Q&A. We have an expert panel. But Windows Phone 8 basically provides voice commands, which is local recognition. So what Dave said on the phone is add Spain to my trip ideas. That was voice commands. And there is speech recognition, which was pretty similar to what I demoed. But the speech recognition on phone supports custom grammar as well. And it supports 15 locales. And the text-to-speech is pretty similar to what I demonstrated on Windows 8.1. So get started. Go to www.bing.com/dev. And I'm just going to quickly go through the Dev Center site that we have. Go to the Dev Center site. We have got good docs. We have got samples. You can go to the downloads page, or you can go to one of the forums and ask questions. Or you can get to the documentation and get through all the documentation for OCR, translator, speech, maps, or you can go to our samples gallery to get some samples access for speech or maps or OCR and translator. So get started, guys.
So one of the things that we've done here is that, you know, previously if you had to find some Bing content, it was in different destinations on the web. So we've streamlined the whole entire experience for developers, so we have one spot that you go to learn anything from a developer perspective about what's available on the Bing platform.
So we have a couple of other sessions that we would like to recommend. One of the sessions is the voice interaction design. So if you are going to add voice to your application on Windows Phone or even on Windows 8, there is an awesome session coming up from Meg and Jay. And if you want to learn more about TTS, then there's a session coming up tomorrow from Sriram. And now it's time for Q&A. If you have liked our session, or whatever is the comment, please go and evaluate the session. And now I'll open it up for Q&A. So if you can line up, there are mics ahead. And we have our expert panel that can answer questions.
Go ahead right here.
Okay. Hello? Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm assuming that speech recognition and text-to-speech is done in the cloud, not on the device. And if so, are there restrictions on the amount of recognition we can do in an app per month?
Jay?
Yeah, so when the speech control does come out for Windows, you will require a network connection in order to access that service. If you're talking about, and so also on Windows, text-to-speech, however, is all on device. If you're interested in networking text-to-speech for even more than the 15, or actually I think it's, believe it's 17 languages, you can access the translator service that also provides speech synthesis for more languages. Similarly, on Windows Phone, text-to-speech is all on-device, and recognition can be on-device or off-device depending on which grammar you use.
Okay. And then as far as usage beyond, you know, if I have to use the cloud for recognition, is there a limit to how much I can do per month in the app?
I'm not sure that's been...
On Windows Phone, currently using the API and there are no limitations. On Windows, we are not announcing usage limits or pricing today.
Okay.
Right here.
I have three quick questions. The first one was on the OCR API, you had those boxes and the text being returned. The boxes that are being returned, are the units for those in pixels?
Yes.
Okay. The next one was you guys did the translator API, and that was outputting text, and you're feeding that into the text-to-speech engine. Could the translator API hand back the SSML instead of text?
So right now, it's only the control only support text. We also output the audio stream if you call through the API, our public API right now, but it doesn't have the audio format.
Okay, and my third question was actually about the audio stream, and that was I noticed in the code snippet when you guys were doing text-to-speech, one of the objects there looked like it was an audio stream of some sort. Can you get it the raw sound bites that come back from that? Like if, say, you wanted to auto-tune it or do something fun?
It's on. I'm not totally clear. We can get back to you on that. I do know that it's returned as a stream, so typically anything that you could normally do with some advanced APIs, you could do there.
Okay, so there's probably some binary data in there, it sounds like.
Yeah, you can save it as a waveform, for example, by handling stream and then manipulate
awesome.
The waveform. And you can also get some cool integrations, for example, because of the paradigm of having the media element actually play that stream, you can tie into the transport controls that a user might be familiar with for longer readout, and you can also read out stuff in the background.
Very cool. Thank you.
Good. So I have a few questions. I just wanted to verify both 3D and the entity APIs are something we need to stay tuned for, and when can we expect something?
Stay tuned. Can't give you a date or time as of this point, but just stay tuned to the Dev Center. We understand that these capabilities are really going to, you know, change the landscape of your applications, right. And we're working as hard as we can to get them out to you, but we just can't announce a date as of this point. Okay.
So in regard to the 3D engine and rendering, how much of that is need to be web connected versus what we can do offline? I know there was a mention about certain cities will be supported. Does that mean we need to download the 3D information and data per city?
You have to be online to access the 3D cities, and it will basically cache sort of information then also in locally in your environment. But generally, you need to have an online connection.
Okay. And then the entity APIs. I understand in the demo, the audio content you had was manufactured.
The voiceover content?
Yes, the tour guide or information. Is there a way in which entity can, if presented with a location information or a city, to give you that content?
So are you saying call the entity API, hand it over Spain, for instance?
Yeah, or restaurant in Spain, seafood.
You will, the entity API will return back to you certain facts about that. We can't go into too many details as far as what level of detail we provide back in that API, because I don't want to lie to you, because obviously these things change. But something similar to what you're saying, that scenario, is probably something we will support.
Okay, thank you.
Probably.
Okay. I noticed these are extensions for Visual Studio rather than like a NuGet package or something. What does it do anything else to the environment? Or is it just a library that then we'll call up to Bing?
It's just a library.
Okay.
On the phone, you have the platform-wide speech recognition, basically, like hold the Windows key and you can speak. Will there be something like that for Windows 8 that it can hook up my application to do something like Kinect on the Xbox, and that it can also then say, app, do this, do that, and that I can hook up multiple APIs through voice commands?
Yeah, so at this time, there's not that voice command capability on Windows as there is on Windows Phone. But I would love to talk to you after the session to hear more about what you're looking for.
Okay, great.
First one, the OCR. Looks like it's tied fairly tightly to the camera. Is it possible to submit an image or to do pre-processing on the image that you take with the camera before it goes off to the OCR?
Right now, the control directly ties into the camera, but having the ability to submit an image is something that we are considering for the final release. Right now, it's in beta, right? So we're looking at getting feedback and making improvements before our final release, and this is certainly one of the things that we are looking at.
Good to hear. Second question is in regards to the 3D virtual worlds. Are there any pieces in there for extending through a photosynth type imagery or some other scenario so that we can build out the content in the 3D world?
At this point, it's something that we can certainly consider for the future, but at the moment it is really more like a navigation in the three-dimensional world.
Okay, thanks.
What relationship does this text-to-speech and voice recognition have to the existing on the .NET platform?
So the .NET platform is a little bit more robust in terms of being able to accommodate, at least in terms of speech recognition, your own custom grammars. So for Windows 8.1, the control that's going to be coming out in the near future is going to be limited in the sense that the input or the recognition will be done against the web service for either a dictation context or a web search context. So that's one distinction on the speech recognition point. In terms of text-to-speech, it's actually pretty, for 8.1, it's a WinRT-based API, and so that's different from .NET. But in terms of functionality, you'll see that very comparable in terms of what you can do with the speech output.
Okay, and what relationship does the 3D control have to the previous Bing Maps 3D control?
None. It's really rebuilt from the scratch, so the previous control was an ActiveX control that plugged into the browser. You needed to have administrative privileges as well. This one is built from the ground up.
Okay, and so it will not be a plugin?
It will not be a plugin. It's in control for Windows Store applications.
Okay, and the services that used to be available for 3D, are you talking to the same services in the back end? Will they still be available?
The services that we had before for 3D?
Yeah, it's been a while, but as I remember it, I could call services.
Geocoding, routing, these services?
No, for the 3D control as well, or at least maybe I'm misremembering that.
Right.
Then.
So the 3D control was basically retrieving elevation models and then tiles also,
right,
that was creating the texturing, and then the triangles that we rendered in DirectX also in the control. The one that we built now is completely rewrite. The services that we used in the past will be replaced by new services that we use for that. However, if you wanted to overlay points, lines, polygon, or images, for example, in these controls, that will continue to work or in a very similar way as it did before.
Okay. Are we reusing the models that we had previously, or are these brand new models as well, terrain and all these kind of things?
We really use a lot of the stuff completely from the scratch now.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, guys. First of all, thank you. These look pretty awesome. Good work. Now, my question is, during today at the keynote, at the very end, one of the Gook's demos, he was dropping in some magical JavaScript libraries that would hook him up with some Bing APIs that would highlight entities in his web app and also present some contact cards with rich information about those entities. Is that you guys? And my second question is, which platforms does that support? Is it just store apps, or can I use that in my own JavaScript web apps?
I assume you're asking about the question, the demo John Shuchak did, where he was showing the kind of receiving information from Gurdip and hooking into that. Is that correct?
Yeah, like it highlighted locations and people.
Right. So what he was demoing is an example of the usage of the Entity API.
Of the Entity API? Entity API, okay.
What he showed is actually showing what the entities, the recognized entities in the text are, and then pulled up the card, the entity card for Valencia, very much what Altov did in the same manner. So
okay.
It is the same API. He was just plugging it in into JavaScript code, and also he showed us how it could work in Word.
Okay, so is it so it's everywhere? It's not Windows Store apps. I can consume it.
It's an entity API, not a control.
Okay, excellent. Thanks.
The entity API is, will we be able to search across our own data with our own organizations? Or is it only data stored in the Bing cloud?
So our current thinking on this, in the first version of this, is that you will not be able to bring your own data to it. But it's something that we hear from other customers. So you know, it's definitely something we're going to look into. But not for V1.
Thank you.
Will WPF map control support any of the new functionalities that you demonstrated?
What specifically? You mean 3D capabilities in WPF?
Yeah, 3D, for example, calculate directions and whatever else you
right.
have there.
So directions, geocoding, traffic overlays, these sort of things is something that you can already do with the WPF control. 3D is not something that we currently have in the plans to support there as well.
Okay, so what is your general kind of policy in terms of support WPF control? There was no update like for a year. Is it
right.
like pretty much in sustained engineering mode, or are you still planning some updates?
Well, so at the moment we really don't have anything to announce in terms of new features that we want to bring to WPF, or that we, on the other side, we are also not contemplating at the moment to deprecate it yet. It is correct that it's in a holding pattern. You are right, and we need to see what we're going to do with that in the future. But at the moment, you're right; it's in the holding pattern.
All right.
So my question is about the entity API as well. I'm a little unclear about that in terms of usage because we didn't see a demo of that. But so when you said who's the architect of that building, that was drawing on the entity framework, right?
Not on the entity framework,
entity
but the entity API.
Sorry. So I'm trying to understand. Does it have like a model, an object model based on context that you can draw from, or what's the vocabulary? How would I know what it's exposing?
We're still at the point in the development of this where we're unable to really give too many details around the access patterns and what the API structure is going to look like.
Okay.
I just don't want to communicate something to you and then have us change it on you. So there'll be much more about the entity API coming out over the next coming months. You know.
But would that be something that's... So I guess what I'm trying to do is trying to figure out is how flexible it is. So in terms of... Say I wanted a knowledge map on some specific criteria. Is that something that I would be able to input and say, contextually, send me results based on this thing that I care about versus everything that's by default showing up on the Bing page?
You want to answer that one, Irina?
It's basically the same answer as David said. We are still using on the usage patterns, and right now we cannot comment on usage patterns and as well as what data would be available.
Okay.
Just look for at the Dev Center, and once we have more information in the coming months, we'll publish that.
And you won't be able to share how much in the future we can expect to see it?
Again, like around Windows 8.1 GA.
Okay, thanks.
One of the current map types that are missing is topographical or elevation and terrain. Is that something we can expect to see in Bing Maps?
Well, we are always interested in improving the experience. We have heard that, but not very often. So it is something that we are contemplating, but it's not clearly on the roadmap at the moment.
Okay.
In your software, is it like natural language processing, or it's more like common patterns recognition? And is there a learning process I can utilize, like personalization?
Is your question specific to voice recognition?
Yeah, voice recognition. I mean, I can understand, as I understand, you do voice-to-text recognition, and after that, the software interprets that as a command, basically, right, and executes something. So my question is that a command type of thing, or I can be talking like natural language versus, you know, add Spain to my ideas, say, I want to go to Spain, and it will do the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, excuse me, my voice is going out today.
Again, it depends on the technology and it depends on the scenario. There is a scenario where you say, hey, I don't know what this user's saying, but I know it's in this language and it's something around, something you might say at a, you know, as a message-like type thing.
Yeah.
So this is a speech predefined grammar. And okay. So in the example they showed on that upcoming control, that same concept will exist on Windows 8.1 just as it does today on Windows Phone. Mm-hmm. In terms of, while there aren't, on Windows Phone, there's also the capability where you can provide that context. And I'll be talking more about this later this afternoon at 3:30, but you can provide grammars for a more command type experience where you're expecting a small set of things that the user might say. And so there is that flexibility there. In terms of the entity extraction, it's to be determined, but you can imagine, you know, if there are capabilities to input audio and get back text, mm-hmm. and then also get contextual information around and hook that up to Bing and entities there, you know, there may be different, you know, that model still being fleshed out, but, you know, in there there's audio and there's text and there's context. And okay. So you can imagine getting back.
Okay. So we are out of time right now, but we'll take one more question and we'll call it a wrap.
And then we'll still be here if you guys just want to come up and chat up here as well.
So with the entity API and the new entity cards, is there a list of types which are currently available? So like, for instance, you know, recipes, or if I threw an ISBN number, will I get a book entity back? Or is that, again, in the future?
Yeah, so we do, we are working with a list of domains that we will support, but yes, we're not able to talk about that at this point.
Is there anything which is what you've currently got available? Not sort of what's coming, just, you know, what is available to us?
So one thing you can think about is, like, think about people, places, and things. You know, those are the types of domains, you know, that would be interesting to people's applications. I'm not saying we're going to support all those things, but those are the types of things that will help you to differentiate your application. So that's, Irina wants to add?
On this one, I mean, you can go to the Bing search engine and just search and then see where we return the entity cards, because we build on top of that. I could give you an idea of what direction we may take. Not saying that we can support all of that, but that's the direction.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
But we are here for the next 10, 15 minutes. If you have additional questions, you can huddle around here.